Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Heroes of the Horn, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Ezra. Friends, welcome back to our Wheel of Time book club. Today we're diving into something special. It's a special weekend, my friend. JordanCon is happening. It's out there in Atlanta. I guess it's happening. We're not there.
We're not there, unfortunately. Well, you know, here's the crazy thing is that this weekend is also the same weekend as Ice and Fire Con, which is a Game of Thrones podcast, which we've had tickets to for 2 years.
Yeah.
The tickets that I bought 2 years ago were set for this. So, you know, COVID and everything has delayed everything. But so not attending JordanCon, also not attending Ice and Fire Con, just because I don't know. I just ended up being like, I just not really feeling the convention mood this year.
Well, we're also not going to Star Wars Celebration. It's just a weird, it's going to be a downer kind of year.
Could have last year, could have the year before, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean,
as and I are both getting married this year, it's finances, expenses.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
Right. Not to each other, but to separate people, right?
Yeah, we've been married for years, so.
Well, right.
But hey, JordanCon tweeted out, this is like, they sold out. This is their largest attended con, I believe.
How many people are there?
I don't know. They're in Atlanta. I imagine they're in the convention center or they're in a hotel convention. I'll go look that up real quick because, if you guys pop in here and anyone knows, first of all, hello, we're live to those of you who are watching. Appreciate you popping in here with us. But yeah, if you guys got any images or if you are at JordanCon and you're there, what's going on? Like, leave us a mess. Tell us what's happening, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, the big news this is probably going to be the topic of our conversation today. Let me get this out. You know, yesterday we got that tweet, which we've known, right?
Right.
Oh, it was a what? Didn't they change it? What is their Twitter?
Yeah,
now?
It's now.
It's just the Wheel of Time.
The Wheel of Time. Yeah.
So the big news here, let me get this pulled up here, is we have a casting for Avienda. Yep. So it's pulled up there. Right. So the thing is we knew we were gonna get Avienda in season 2.
Yeah.
And here we are. What is her name? Like Ayola Smart, I believe.
Yeah.
Is
either, it's either Ayola or Iola.
Ayola.
I think she's an Irish actress, I think.
Okay. But nonetheless, we have a casting for Avienda. So it's confirmed we're getting Avienda in season two. I guess that sort of now leads us to the question of like, what does that mean and where are we going in season two with Avienda?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's interesting. It's it's confirmed. We have a casting for the character, which the crazy thing to me is that you have Avienda and Elaine. So because I was thinking maybe you stick with one, introducing one or the other and going one route. But I think you're going to have two crews going in different directions. You got to go to the IEL Waste and then you got to go to Camelin. Right. You have to go to the tower and have Elaine introduced. It's ambitious and I like it.
Yeah. So I think what we were saying, which was initially that season two, which by the way, it also is pretty much looking slash somewhat confirmed season two isn't happening until 2023. Mm-hmm. So it seems like we've been saying we think it's season two is going to be Great Hunt and Dragon Reborn sort of running in parallel and combined. But now I think it's almost Great Hunt, Dragon Reborn, and Shadow Rising, at least Rand's portion, plugged into season two.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Because we can even go back over some of this too, because I think it's interesting to talk about like where we left off. I was blown away that in season one, you had that we got as far as we did, but that we only got that far. You know what I mean? That we got to the events of the Eye of the World. We all thought they were going to try to do like a book and a half or more. So this now seems like with the casting and where we're headed, and maybe based upon what they saw and ratings and reviews and stuff from season one, maybe they think they have to go at a quicker pace and they have to do more, cover more of the material, move things around. But yeah, I definitely think we're going to be following the Avienda track, and it seems like it's going to be, Matt, it's going to be so different from the books. I think at this point you can just say, here's what I think is going to happen, and you've got just as good a guess as anybody. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, you can kind of use the book as some of a, all right, this is where you can kind of base it in terms of where the books are at. But like, for example, Matt has said for a while that Rand is going to go to the IEL Waste. And he is going to kind of interact, you know, with the Aiel, and they go actually across the spine of the world to find him, right? They go to Tyr, and that's the whole thing. This is going to go down a different way, I think. I think he's going to go on his walkabout. I think the hunt for the Horn of Valyr, which is awesome, by the way, that they actually have that, and it's going to be a thing. Hopefully, it should be.
Yes.
In season two. But there's going to be another crew responsible for that hunt and do two things at the same time. Have Rand go into the IEL Waste, learn all this stuff. He doesn't need, he can still take Moraine with him. If they want to send one of the other girls in there, they can. But like, I think Egwene doesn't even go until after the events of the Dragon Reborn, until they have the whole, you know, everything's got, you know, sort of revealed there. So she still needs to go to the tower. They still need to be trained. They still need to meet Elaine, and they have a lot to do on this side of the map. Rand wants to get away because he believes he's the dragon. He knows he's the dragon now. So it's time to go to the IEL Waste and and get it done. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I agree. I mean, it's to me. Yeah. Just like you said, Rand. So we've talked about this before. In the Great Hunt, Rand is with everyone on the hunt for the Horn. But in the Dragon Reborn, you don't even see him. He's just sort of wandering around. You literally meet up with him at a few campfires where Egwene runs into him in like the dream world, right?
Yeah.
Well, she's in the dream world. He's in the real world. Just sort of sitting there at like a campfire on making his way all the way down to Tyr. But then in the Shadow Rising is when Rand and Matt are over in the Aiel Waste and Rand's beginning to meet them and all this stuff. And then it sets up with Coolin and all of that. So clearly, it seems like Rand's now going to the Aiel Waste by himself, where he's going to meet Avienda and right, start this. I think what's going to happen is he's already heard a little bit of what the dragon is from the Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm.
But then he is going to, he's going to now learn the Aiel way of things and learn that maybe we're going to have more distrust between the Aiel and the Aes Sedai than we think. Like, you know, that's, I mean, it's there, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be pushed up quite a bit. So we're definitely going to get a lot of that. And then maybe the end of it, as we said, which I think we said, you know, one of the last times we were on here podcasting was maybe Rand shows up to Tyr, where we think it's going to happen rather than Fal'Dara, where the way that the Great Hunt ends, I think you just sort of have maybe Kalendor be the main focus, and you like blow the Horn of Valyr, the Horn of Valyr gets blown, and everything that happens at the end of the Great Hunt is actually taking place in Tyr, but now Rand shows up with an Aiel army or whatever, and then it's kind of a lot of these events take place here. You could then move like Perrin's story forward,
right?
Maybe like Perrin's, because you're definitely not going to be able to do all three of like Shadow Rising, Great Hunt, and whatever. I think really just only probably this aspect of the Great Hunt, or excuse me, Shadow Rising, is getting pulled forward into season two.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I mean, like, you have to have the hunt, whether it's Falma or Tyr or whatever. Perrin is in on that. You're gonna have to rope Tom back in more, I think. You know, Moraine can go with Rand if that's what they want to do, also, because Moraine kind of disappears in the Great Hunt and does her thing. But for, you know, Perrin, and again, you could also split it up by season. Maybe the first four episodes is just a shorter chase for the hunt or for the horn. They get that. And then he goes on and has to do some awesome Taviren stuff back in the Two Rivers. You know, you have that set. You have all of those individuals cast, right? So that would be kind of cool to see them go back there. Pot on Vane, if the horn is stolen from him and he wants to lure people back in, immediately he's going to go to the Two Rivers and try to get some of the Taviren there, which gets him access to Rand. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. There's also this weird bit where Pot on Vane in the book really dwells on Rand and his hunt. You know, he's hunting for the Dark One. But right now it seems like it's Perrin who he's made eyes with, and it's Matt who he had dealings with, right? Supposed to be Matt, right? Yeah,
that might shift back and see. That's another thing we don't think about as much too, is what is Matt's arc, especially with Barney Harris leaving and everything. Is what are they going to shift around in season two? I'm fine with it being switched over a little bit to Perrin, especially because I think we're actually set up right now where Matt. I think this may be a route they go in season two is Matt's, we see him go back to the tower. I don't know that we've had casting for it yet. Have we had casting for one of Galad or Gawain?
I don't think so.
But I think we could still have that where Matt like fights Galad and Gawain, and then maybe he and Tom end up leaving. Maybe he meets Tom there at the White Tower. Cause that's, remember, a lot of the big cities and everything I think are now just going to be focused. That's going to be in Tar Valon, where a lot of those big events take place. Maybe he meets up with Tom Marilyn, and maybe he and Tom Marilyn actually end up going to the Aiel Waste looking for Rand.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Instead. And then through that, if they go looking for him, we had a great comment up here as well that Land might also go looking for him. So Catherine, thank you.
Cause I think what you could do then is you have Rand over there with Avienda, which gives you like with the Aiel. Cause you think about like your season and you sort of like have like a little bit of a gang together. So then you're going to have Rand and the Aiel, probably Avienda will be the main person he's interacting with. Okay, you're going to have the girls at the White Tower training, and Moraine can't be there. So she's kind of the wild card because it's like so different. We don't know exactly, you know, like what's going to be going on there.
Yeah.
But then I think Perrin, what you're going to do is Perrin is obviously going to be now the one hunting for the horn, like the main sort of hunt for the horn is going to be probably Perrin.
Yeah.
And I think Fael's arc is probably getting moved up, which I think works and can make sense, because then you can have her be a hunter for the horn. And let's then go. Now you have that dynamic of Perrin going there. And then there's kind of your main cast, and that's probably what's going to be going on.
That's it. You call. I mean, so actually, once you brought it, once you mentioned Fael, I was like, yeah, she's a hunter, right, of the horn, and then she hooks up with Perrin. So clearly, yeah, that's where you want to take that line of thought with yeah. with her and with Perrin being the person chasing down Padon Fane, right?
And so it probably means that a lot of like stuff that's inside the Great Hunt and the Dragon Reborn are like. Like stuff like Deus de Mar and like the playing of the houses and stuff like that, that's probably getting at least not like cut, but
a mention,
potentially moved to a different part.
Yeah. Yeah. They could definitely do that, because it's like, do you think we're going to go to Kyrian and spend a bunch of time in a place? I think you're going to go to Camelin. I think of all the places that you would go and where you spend a significant amount of time in the series overall, like you see Camelin quite a bit. It matters.
You know, like now sort of thinking about it, like, I don't know. There's so much stuff where like, man, I just don't know that they could cut that, that they could cut that. But like, I think sometimes we view the series in terms of like trying to get it to fit in the show where we think like, man, you just have to have like this and this and this. Actually, I don't know that you do. Like, I think you really like to really be able to do this thing in like however many seasons, which by the way, they're talking like, remember they said like 80 episodes, like 5 seasons, like 5 to 6 seasons. Like you have to be like, what are like the pinnacle points? We have like, these are like the main points.
Right.
Right. Yeah. If you said, hey, this is going to be 5 seasons. Right.
Right.
What are the 5 main points we have to hit in order to tell the story?
Yeah. Are you saying that? Yeah. They have to figure that out. Right. What are those?
Points? I think so. I think that's where it feels like we're at. Because
based on how many episodes they're approved for and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess in the next couple books, what are those major points? You know, we're going to jump into some comments here from Jordan Khan and different people who are talking about wanting to be there and stuff. And I've got the schedule pulled up here and just looking at some of the people that are going to be there. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just up to where we're at in the books. I mean, I would, again, like, you think, you know, it's like, what's more important at the end of the Great Hunt? Is it like, what happened? Is it like Rand? I mean, to me, it's like the blowing of the horn, I guess. It's like, you need that. Like, you need like Matt blowing the horn. Does it matter if Matt blows it there or if he blows it, say, in Tyr or somewhere else?
Yeah. MJ Daniel says, Falma, Fane, Matt, Tom, and the horn are some of the main points there. Egwene and then the Seanchan. Yeah. They've already mentioned that's Jesus.
They've already shown them.
I mean, by the light, they've already brought them up. So they might be pushing that point like more
right
further than we think. Or we said their attack is just not Falma. It's Tyr or somewhere else, you know, different, perhaps.
I think the girls are probably going back. They're probably going to get about 2 episodes of training.
Yep.
And then I think maybe you start to begin to move like Suwon getting like kicked out, like, you know, deposed. I think that's going to be like, that's happening next season. I think it's going to be Leandrin because we haven't met an Elida yet. And I don't know that we need one because they've already set Leandrin up to be sort of this like main, you know, Aes Sedai villain.
Yeah.
So you go that route. And then it's like, okay, Egwene and Elaine, who will be like there brand new. And the other thing is like, when Elaine shows up, she feels like she's way further behind everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
They may change that.
Yeah. 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 Like there's things. Okay. Here's something interesting that Elaine later on in the series learns how to kind of create Tyrion Greal and do some cool stuff where she can, you know, that could be her specialty already. They could already walk in there and say, hey, look, she can do this. Like, this is her skill. This is her unique.
And just,
whatever. And she's maybe been there a little bit longer. We don't really know exactly how long she's been at the tower or if they're going to pick her up in Camelin. By God, they could just go to, I mean, we have no idea that they're going to do that. We assume she's going to be at the tower just the way that she is in the main series, right? Because we've already skipped the part where Rand meets her. That's the other thing too. Rand has to meet. So he's going to meet Avienda. It looks like before he meets Elaine. Unless we're totally off here and then Rand's going to go back to the tower. Why would you ever take the dragon?
No.
Why? Will they ever do that? Do you think they would, like, because that's a big thing. Like, Rand never goes to the tower and.
Are you okay? Are you okay with that sort of reversal where maybe Rand sort of falls, you know, hooks up with Avienda and then later gets with Elaine? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of like a big part of it where Avienda feels like bad, right? That, like, because she feels like Rand has promised to Elaine. And then they hook up. And she's
How do you do that? Because that lingers for a long time with Avienda. Like, either he goes there, and let's say Rand goes to the IO waste, and then Avienda was actually already sent over the spine, you know, was actually searching for He Who Comes with the Dawn and the whole situation. So maybe she hooks up with him later. But why would we even be tracking her throughout the series if she's not with one of the members of the main cast, you know? It feels like you have to lump these people together in groups to kind of move them through. So that's a good point.
That's how you do it in television. Yeah.
Yeah. But they might actually flip it where Rand is going to go hook up with Avienda. And then I don't know.
I guess the only other way you could do it, because it just to make it sort of work in television, is maybe you have Rand and Avienda sort of. Liking you, like, okay, there's that sort of like tension where they feel like they don't like each other, but, you know, it's just one of those things, like, all right, you guys just need to bang it out,
right?
And then you'll be fine. And then it feels like maybe they get close to like hooking up and then they don't, and then he goes and he's like sort of with Elaine, and Avienda is sort of like looking there longing and realizing, you know, like, that's like good television. I mean, that's the thing. Is it true to the books? No, but is that good television? Yes. That's the kind of stuff where, you're watching episodes waiting for it to happen. I mean, well, it sort of has to be good television too. And then that would still, just real quick, that would still give you that sort of just like triangle, which I guess ultimately turns into a what? Like, it's a, I don't know, square, four P. I mean, how, you know,
it's a circle. Yeah. No, I get you. Yeah, you want good TV setups. I mean, season one did that, where we're all sitting there thinking they had an element of who is the dragon, right? Like, that was the big question. So I guess another thing we could think about is, what is that big question? What's the big guessing game, or what's the mystery or the allure or whatever in this series? It could be like, if I were in charge of this thing, I would start to sprinkle in some serious dark friend stuff. Make people like, you know, who can we trust? Who can we not trust? Because the scariest moment for me was like in season one, when I thought Lanfear was there and we hadn't noticed it, because again, they can shift their form, that they can hide in other forms, right? With allure. So that might have been Lanfear or another Forsaken just in disguise, you know,
as Dana, the innkeeper.
Yeah. Do something like that where you've got us guessing, who can we trust? And maybe someone who totally seemed like an innocent there to help us, maybe even disguised as one of our main characters. I mean, you can do some trippy stuff to really fool people. And bring the Forsaken and the you know, like, dark friends up in terms of importance and stuff. So
yeah, just one quick comment here. The Green Xeno asks, do we know who is cast as Avienda? Yes, we do. Her name is Ayola Smart. I hope we're pronouncing that correct.
Yeah.
Here's the actress who's gonna be playing. I will say, at first when I saw, and I actually think this picture, which is just her Instagram picture, it's not like her official headshot, this picture to me is a better picture than the one that they used. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
This was the one. This is just from her Instagram. I just have her Instagram pulled up here. This was the one that they used, if it loads. And you're gonna pull that comment down. But I immediately saw it and I was just like, that just does not feel like Avienda to me. Because all the fan art, just to be fair, all the fan art is like this like red haired, you know, like woman.
Yeah,
but then I, you know, it's like, first of all, I need to see her in costume and everything. But then I started scrolling down her Instagram more, and I was like, okay, I could definitely see, you know, like this, that this is like just her sort of like headshot. But then you see some more of her other, like this one, I think I'm like, okay, I can see that.
Right. Yeah, she's got this that look, like the right. Like the look in her eyes, real kind of a serious.
Well, and the other picture, her hair is like, it's this one. It's kind of like down over her face a little bit and stuff like that. I'm like, this feels more like this feels better than the other one. At least just for like, hey, you're going to be playing Avienda.
Right. Yep. Yeah. No. Yeah. Looks cool. I'm excited. I think she'll be, you know, cool. Again, this is actually
I don't know anything about her. I know nothing about this.
Yeah.
I have to like look her up.
I pulled her up. It looks like she's in Juliet Naked, Killing Eve, Death in Paradise, and Trendy. I've not seen any of those.
I've seen Killing Eve.
Killing Eve? Okay. Yeah. So she's in that.
Okay. So she's in a handful of episodes of that. She's in one, two. Yeah. She's in 5 episodes of Killing Eve. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. She's not in a lot total.
Which is awesome. I think this is great. I love when they bring people forward like this and say, hey, let's find somebody who we want to put into this role. And, this is probably going to be a big role for her, I think. So, and again, Avienda is a fan favorite. I will say she is,
I think, you know, I don't know though. I go back and forth on all 3 of them, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of Avienda in the books as much. I know people are like, I swear to God. But it's men for me. I love men. Men is awesome. And Elaine, I don't know, kind of out on Elaine too. I'm just a men guy.
Well, it's just because at first she's sort of like, God, I can't do anything. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But I would say that the problems with Elaine early on are the problems that like all of the girls have, and that, you know, they're consistently getting captured every 2 seconds.
They're gonna
hit. I mean, like every 2 seconds they're captured.
They're gonna have to fix that. And again, according to them, Matt, they weren't captured, which is what they tell Matt, right? You know, we had this under control, and Matt's like, now hold on a second, didn't I just rescue you guys? And they're like, no. So
we're into book 6 in the podcast, and they've been captured once per book. At least twice. Yeah, at least.
Yeah. So that's a good point. We'll have to see how they handle all of that, because I try to think if there's any, you know, major element that might come forward. Did Rafe say they're only going to be up through book 3? I don't know if he mentioned book 4 or not, if he said they were going to go beyond that, but because that for me would be interesting if they based on the number of episodes, if he has to do something pretty wild with like Gabriel in Caemlyn, right. does he have to start thinking that far ahead, and will he? So Catherine has a comment up here too as well. I agree, more unidentified dark friends. They did that with Matt in season 1. Is he or isn't he, you know, type of thing. So I think keeping us guessing is interesting. And that's the Forsaken. That's the element. So right now you had this fear factor in terms of the dragon and Loghain, but he's been gentled. You had the Dark One, and you build up the Dark One's army and all these different things and the mystery of it. Someone also said that we might have to do some teaching. Here we go. The Green Zeno said this as well. Yeah, we got to do some teaching about the magic system to the audience. Obviously, it could be a great part of that. I think that's true. White Tower stuff. And along with that, introducing an element of surprise, that being I think the Forsaken. We've got to see his lieutenants, his generals, his you know, the Dark One's commanders come back. And
do we have the Dark Friend social in season 2 to start?
That would be cool. I think if you did that, you can plant even more than what was actually there in the books. You know, they do kind of spoilers here, like a Jacob Carden. They do Inktar there. They have a couple other individuals who are at the Dark Friend social, but I think you can put more there. And especially with the visual component, we can see people who are dressed in different garment or whatever, and then be kind of wondering, well, who are they? And where might we see them? You know, let's say they have a completely different uniform, but they're wearing a special necklace or pendant that's important to them. And that's like a clue, a breadcrumb that we can then see later on. We see another, you know, barkeeper, somebody else working, an innkeeper with that same pendant. And we realize, oh, shoot, that's actually one of those, you know, Dark Friends who's at the social. Look out for that person. But on a first watch, you might not catch it. I like that kind of stuff. I like when they leave those, when they put those layers in there. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But,
yeah. So it's, I mean, it's, we haven't had, I was just looking here. We haven't had really any other big castings for season two. I mean, Avienda is obviously the big one. That's the one they told us. I mean, just there was those ones a few while ago, but they don't think they ever announced who specifically those people are playing.
Right. Yeah.
Remember, because we thought one of them might be Lanfear, but there was nothing specifically saying here's who they are.
Honestly, Matt, things have been kind of
quiet. It's been really quiet.
Real quiet, you know? Like,
yeah.
Is that good? Are they just at work? Are they doing their thing? I've been following some of the other actors' Instagram pages, and they are together, right? So they are, they've been filming, doing their thing. There's no major big guest at JordanCon. There are plenty of major guests, excuse me, but like none of our actors, I guess, right? No one really from the, unless there's going to be some surprise stuff.
I mean, there was like a Rafe sort of tidbit, yes, where he sort of announced.
Yeah.
Here's our people
popping in and stuff. Yeah.
Right. Here's our cast for Avienda.
Right. Right. Here's an interesting comment. So Catherine says, never bought Rand loving Elaine, but she's a great character and fabulous with Nynaeve. Avienda becoming a wise one is important, and we need Forsaken. Yeah. I don't know. You know, the whole, I'm one of those guys too, like when Min shows up and can do all these mystic things and like Min's there. And I don't know, this whole, I'm going to be very interested to see how they do the Rand relationship stuff, because of everything in the Wheel of Time series, I, the whole way through, was thinking, no, Min was first. Like, if it's not going to be
right,
or I was saying Egwene, something's going to happen, but then you get to the point where they just separate, right? Go their separate ways. And I kept thinking, they're not going to do this. Like three, they're just not going to do it. And he did. And it's fine. I mean, it's all good. It's just like, it's going to be different to see on screen, I think. And it's going to be interesting how they communicate that. Cause you could imagine in your mind what was going on when certain of them were linked and
right,
sharing, yes, their time with Rand in the tent.
Right.
I don't know, Matt. I mean, again, the way they played it up in season one with the warders and their bond, with like Alana Sedai and stuff, was interesting. It was a really kind of just an open relationship, and they're just, it was interesting because Nynaeve is very kind of conservative coming from the Two Rivers, and the way she looked at it was this wide eye kind of like, wait, what?
Right.
So to have Rand kind of thrust into that will be interesting. And Robert Jordan said originally, like, the awkwardness of that is really what made him kind of laugh and chuckle, right? This boy, this man from the Two Rivers, from a backwater village, is pulled between, you know, his strings are kind of pulled between three different women and stuff. And how funny wouldn't that be, or whatever? You get, there's interviews of him talking about it, and it's just sort of like he was just having fun with it. I mean, really, you know,
right?
So it'll be,
yeah. I don't know. You know, part of me is like, I don't know, because we were talking so much about it before the show started, and we were saying, like, you know, man, I think we thought that this was going to be a more sort of PG-13 show rather than like a rated R show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I would say at this point, it's clearly like a rated R show.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I guess I feel less worried about that now.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried. I think people would be fine. I just, I'm interested to see how they're going to do it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like how we're going right, to see
how they can
blossom right on the screen. Okay. Like how are they going to share that screen time or build to that? Really? I've never seen it done really on TV.
Has never seen it done, man.
I've never seen it. That's something
How's it work?
Woo. Read about it.
Who goes first?
Right? Yeah. Oh my God!
You're real intrigued by it. Hey, what? Like, so, I, you know.
Well, for me, I mean, I get as a reader. Let me tell you this right now. When I started reading some of that stuff, it's so funny because I was like, oh, what is going on? And, you know, sharing it with your, because I was actually keeping my mom up to date at some points on different parts of the sharing story. Wow, of the story of the arc here. And then I got to certain points, I was like, mom doesn't need to know everything that's going on in this book series, you know? It's crazy. So, yeah, it's high fantasy. It is.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I mean, I don't know, dude. I mean, the Witcher had some pretty freaking weird scenes in it. And so yeah.
I think people are going to like it. I actually think it's going to be if they do it, the rating. I feel like people are going to be like, this is different. This, right. You know what I mean? It's not as common or as whatever.
Yeah, there's other Amazon shows, too, which I feel like are more sort of controversial, I would say. And even more sort of like, I don't know, like I haven't really watched a lot, but I've seen some clips of The Boys and I'm like, dude, there's some like,
oh,
messed up scenes in here.
Oh,
like,
it's
I think where the disturbing. Like the scene where the scene where like the main guy like just like, all right, it's like, all right, we're getting out of here. Like, and the plane's like crashing, it's like, nah, we ain't gonna save these people. And
so dude, like, way more messed up. So like that main guy, I forget what his name is, but he does some crazy stuff that was like jaw dropping for me. And like, I'm like, this is gross. Like it got to the point where it was like really pushing the boundaries.
So yeah, I just think Rand hooking up with three women and having sort of three, but I just don't think it says, I don't think there's going to be as much pushback on it as we thought, like initially, sort of before we went into it. I think just because we initially sort of thought this might be a more PG-13 show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know. And it seems like they're good because the violence has been in it. There's been nudity, right? I mean, it's not like a lot, like they're not just like overdoing it. It's just a subtle kind of a bit here, a bit there, or whatever. And it's not like overdone, you know?
Right.
So yeah.
I'm trying to think about like, really was there really any nudity?
Just Lance, you know, just stepping into the pool, you know.
But like yeah, but I mean that but you can show
that's
that
a naked like, butt. Okay.
Yeah, I know, but it's like that's not
Matt.
I guess I don't know. Because really, even like when Moraine and all them were in like the bathhouse, you didn't really see anything. So nothing's particularly comes to mind. So I guess it is a little more toned down than we think. There's definitely blood and gore. I mean,
you think
gore,
they'll do that though? Do you think they'll actually
eventually
go that route? Surprisingly, they didn't in season one. I think that I don't know that they're gonna do like a Game of Thrones where they just threw some of that stuff in there. People are like, oh, I'm out on that if it's unnecessary.
Well, see,
you know,
I think Game of Thrones had it at the beginning and then obviously and they scaled it down as the ratings went up. I think The Witcher did the same thing. I think Witcher season two definitely had some like sex and stuff like that, but I think like it wasn't like as much as like season one of The Witcher. There's like the scene where Geralt walks in and he meets Yennefer for the first time and they're there's like a full-on orgy taking place,
right?
Like, it's like what's going on here? Like the second season there was like that definitely got scaled way down.
I actually think they might scale it up, honestly.
I think they might too. Just a little bit.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see. Yeah, will we get to see Elaine doing the high wire act though? Matt's up when we bypass the menagerie altogether. I think we might.
Less menagerie, more menagerie. So that's what we're gonna.
Whoa.
That's what the plan is. Here we go. Let's see. I agree. All these characters are great. I just don't want the polygamy. Sexist and irritating as hell. And what does? Oh, right. If they don't. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is a question. Are they gonna do? Are they gonna do the thing? Does Rand just sort of? Does he just maybe Rand just sort of like has a little relationship with one and then it's like has a relationship with another one, not like they're all three?
Yeah, I think Catherine was saying like flirt here. We're not really keeping the audience sort of guessing because in the book series you did that. I was like, who is he actually into? You know,
so. I feel like it does. I mean, who do you think's like his ultimate final sort of? It's like Elaine, right?
Well, I mean,
is the one that's like it feels
like a lot, but like he has children with the other two. You know?
I know
that's crazy. So, you know,
if you just going off the books,
yeah.
If you had to pick one, like who do you feel like his ultimate sort of probably Elaine, right?
Yeah, I guess he does seem like he's the most because the whole men relationship he puts off, dismisses. He's kind of like, you know, like that's just a kind of a, I don't know, like a friendship. He thinks about her, but that it's like the feelings are there for her much earlier than they are for him. And he's instantly into Elaine. And then Avienda, that one kind of emerges as this sort of like undertone of tension, major tension building until traveling takes place and winter, winter, you know.
Winter's heart, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, they got to the heart of it in the winter. That's for sure. they had it out in the tent. But I don't know. Yeah,
he had it out.
Yeah, they all did. It was that's crazy. And so in that she feels like regret because in her mind, the relationship is established with Elaine.
Right.
Right. And she actually has because she has toe to Elaine and she has to repay that and she has to figure out that they're good and that that they're okay. Now we're in an awkward spot where you and I are in the series where Min has just relayed to Elaine like she's a part of the group that's going to go to either Kyrian or Camelin. I think it's Camelin, and she's going to speak with Rand, and she's like, "I'm going there to be with him." And Elaine cannot, and Elaine loves him, but like Min has foreseen that all three of them will be with him and will share him. You know,
yeah.
So then they do their whole bond. They kind of bond one another and become like, was it sister wives or something? I get lost in the IEL terminology. I'm sorry, but yeah. I just don't. So to me, again, I don't care if they do it. You know, hopefully, I feel like with Rafe and those guys, they're gonna do it the right way, and they've already set up like the first instance of seeing this was not Rand and three women. Right. It was actually Alana and two men. So in her warders, that's the first sort of situation that we see. And so I think they did that intentionally just to sort of help with this in a way. I don't know. You know, again, I'm not I'm glad it's not my call. I'll just say that because I'd rewrite it a little bit.
Yeah. So. I mean, if you had to, what do you think? If you're writing the show and you only have to pick sort of one of them because you don't want to go down the whole route, is Min the first one who you think easily is like, okay, it's going to have to be between Avienda and Elaine?
You know what I would do? You know what I would do?
You would go with Min because
No. I'm going to shock some people. What I would do is because they have changed stuff drastically. Some people supposedly were killed at the end of season one. I don't know if Lord Agamar made it. Lady Amelise, I don't know if she made like there's some interesting things that happen, just some different stuff, right? So they could, if they really wanted to change things up and keeping people guessing, like they changed the whole lore of the dragon, which I was fine with. They kept us guessing as to who the dragon could be, male, female, the whole nine yards, whatever. If you wanted to do something and you want to make these different realms or worlds, I always think of the portal stones in the world of What If, or like other like the multiverse, right? Another reality. That's, you have the book reality, that's down, we've already seen that, we know what happens. But what is that other potential? Rand often dreams about marrying Egwene, having a child with her, all those things. You set that up in season one, they could go for seasons and have all three of these women, you know, come in and out of his lives and ultimately go back to Egwene. Now that would throw people for a loop, and the book people would be enraged by it, but they could do something like that because otherwise you can't really pick one of the three. It's really hard to just.
I don't think it is. I think. Well, it's just because obviously, even though I haven't read the entire story, I know quite a bit about what happens at the end. Just the knowledge of sort of who Elaine kind of is, I think Elaine makes to me the most sense. Plus, Elaine is like Rand is like the Aiel, and then she's like Camelin, so you get the combination there. Plus, Elaine feels like the main one to me.
Yeah, and she's also
because she's regent, you know, all this there's all that to it too. Whereas she like Min feels the most outside,
right,
of it. Plus, Min's sort of role as this, like, you know, she can see things and all this stuff. Like, and when he first meets her, she's just kind of like, hey, what's up? You're going to go do all this stuff. Like, just in the terms of the show, this is just looking at it through the show perspective. She feels like the easiest to sort of pin off. And then I would say you can still have Avienda be like very close and be like, maybe like a protector and, you know, all this stuff. But I think just sort of like in terms of intimacy, I think like Rand and Elaine is kind of the one I would roll with. Mm-hmm. That one, because it also sets up the most intriguing dynamics for the show. Yeah. Unless you like do things a lot quicker, because if it's Rand and Avienda, then it's like too Aiel centered. Where if it's Rand and Elaine, then you get the sort of like political, you know, maneuverings as well that you can piece together.
Right.
Just for a show perspective, where you have a lot less time and you have to make decisions. And I think that is the most intriguing one.
Yeah. It's interesting too. You know, David said this as well, like if you had to pick and you really shouldn't. Yeah, he also agrees with you. It'd be Elaine, right? But again, it sucks that, you know, we even have to bring, well, we don't have to bring it up.
I think that might be the route they go though. I think you might just end up picking one.
Right.
And you can still do, there's still tons of cool stuff you can do with the other characters. Like there's still tons of stuff.
Yeah.
You can do with the other characters. Like Min is so interesting on her own. Like you don't need her to be, I think just from show perspective, you don't need her to be a love interest of Rand to have her be an interesting character.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. She's already mystic. She's already interesting. She's intriguing. She could be that advisor, that other, you know, be close to Rand, like you said. And also all this can happen pre, like he could have a whole bunch of different flirtation, different stuff, different intimate moments until they get to, okay, now he settles on Elaine or something. Yeah, that's right. That's fair and fine.
You also think about this, though, from a show perspective, build up tension. Like, remember how season one, the whole deal was who's the dragon? Are they going to change the dragon?
Yeah.
Like, you could have seasons of building it up to make it seem like, no, he's going to choose this one. No, he's going to choose this one. No, he's going to choose this one.
But you know what? So, like, what David says here, I mean, you could do that, right? You could have him bouncing back and forth and have everyone really guessing for a long time and us thinking, you know what? Maybe he's not going to. Maybe he sends one away. And ultimately, like, Rand tries to do that and send, like, not be with all three of them. And he really tries to kind of buck the pattern or, you know, get away from the destiny of having all three of them in his life. If he's really forceful in that, and then he ends up actually having to like it's just he's sort of pulled in that direction, it'd be kind of comical, you know, for him like in the end, because yeah, I really don't know what they're gonna do with it. But if you had to pick, I'm down that it's Elaine, but I guess we had said earlier too, it won't surprise me if they do all three and they make it, you know, at all.
I've
in the books, it's like
I would say the options are they either go with all three or they pick one. But I would say the most likely out of those three, I think, is Elaine.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm with you on that. 100%. 100%. Yeah.
Plus, right now, you've already got the story of Rand and Egwene, where they've pushed that out way further, really. It does go a little bit into book two, but it's like it gets killed off pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, and so how long are they going to let that go? This is the thing, too. Like, are they going to introduce Elaine's brother? Because they waited, right? They wait to kind of do these introductions. Like, you're bringing Elaine. Like, Min was brought in first, and then now you're going to bring in Elaine and then Avienda, both in the same swoop. I think earlier we were talking, the more interesting piece is, like, who meets who first, and who does he, you know, get with or is intimate with first? Because that affects Avienda's arc. Essentially what we were saying, like Avienda, it feels like she owes, you know, she's committed some, she got some fault because Elaine said to look after him and that he belonged to Elaine. Then she goes to Rudion and realizes she's going to have children by Rand. And she's like, that can't be right. You know, like I already told,
you know, I think they could just do all three. I mean, people in the chat, MJ Daniel here, on
YouTube,
I'm saying they
you
could
get one shot. I mean, so just do it.
I don't know. I guess I just like, I don't know. Game of Thrones had like incest and like we were rooting for Jon Snow to hook up with Daenerys. Suzanne,
I know.
We're like rooting for it. Like, let's go. Hey,
we were.
Even though that, you know, it's like, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's high fantasy. I think we've sort of like adapted as audiences to be like, okay, like it sort of is
flat out. Know, we are cheering for Daemon Targaryen and Rhaenyra, right? Her uncle. To, I know. You know, I'm a black guy, right? I'm
sometimes I rewatch Star Wars and I was like, what if Luke and Leia had not ever found out they were,
I know, man.
Yeah, siblings. Jeez. I mean,
goodness gracious. No, there is another. Oh, okay.
Right.
No. Yeah. Anyway, so okay, yeah, that's one aspect of it. I guess before we jump into some of this JordanCon stuff, by the way, if you're in the chat and you know anything that's going on at JordanCon, like let us know. It's like 5 o'clock there. They have about 2 hours left of the convention. A lot of things kind of closed down there.
It's really so. What? It's only like 2 days.
No, it's also Sunday. If you want me to, I can pull this up here, the calendar for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have this right here. So let's go ahead and share this just because we are also talking about JordanCon and we're, you know, I mean, it's they've got a lot of people there, which is cool. I'm really glad that they are
next year. Next year we'll be there. Although apparently we're not a big enough podcast to get, you know.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I mean, what do we got to do to get a thing there?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, you can't even really see. I'm going to try to zoom in on it. Yeah. Yeah. How do we get like a panel? You know, how do we.
During the show, we had like 300 to 400 people watching us live.
Right.
It was sweet. We're all hanging out.
We didn't apply for anything. We didn't, you know, we weren't going to go. No, so.
But you know what? I feel like we should just be asked.
Yeah. Yeah. Mulkey Air Talks was just live. Yeah. They're also, I hate to say, I did not realize that. What are they called? Oh my gosh. And we need to reach out to some of these guys. It'd be fun to collaborate. Like the Dusty Wheel. I follow Matt Hatch and he's there. I don't think Daniel Green is there, which is fine. But
what do you need to do to get a yacht nowadays? I mean, seriously. Yeah, right. I mean, well, you know what? What do we have to do?
Right. WattCon. What's the Susan? What's this, Matt? You look that up real quick. I'm gonna talk with the schedule.
Okay.
All right. So on, let's see. Today's Saturday, right? So this is kind of cool. They've got the categories up here, like art. Art and artist, you got fantasy, you've got gaming, you've got main programming C, you've got the makers, Sanderson, science fiction. So cool that they've got the Sanderson bit going here and Stormlight Discussion, Cosmere, all this kind of stuff going on throughout the day. You can check out the panels there. Main programming, they've got Blade Master and Dance the Spears, author, guest of honor spotlight, couple of those there. Let's see. Origins of the Wheel of Time panel, costume contest is happening and so on. They have open gaming. They definitely have some gaming tables set up and stuff. Let's see. The art show was pretty cool and they had some featured artists there, which looked pretty awesome. So things are wrapping up right now. We're recording this around 5 o'clock. So you've got storytelling in the Wheel of Time. You've got gaming, costume competitions going on, Masters of Science Fiction, Overflow, viewing for the costume contest, a story in three parts, which is awesome. So yeah, some cool stuff, interesting stuff here.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, WattCon, yeah, I forgot about this one. No, I remember as soon as I looked it up. I remember it is July 8th, which is the weekend after
my
birthday. So my birthday is the first, which is the Friday, which as might be coming out here for
coming out.
But I don't know. Now I'm looking at it. Maybe I need to come out the following weekend as it's in Dublin, Ohio.
No.
Daniel, okay. Green Daniel Green is speaking and Kate Reading and Michael Kramer are there.
I would love, though they have.
Well, now as is going because it's just down the street.
Michael Kramer. Yeah. And yeah. So husband and wife team there. They read the audiobook. I love the audiobook.
Love the audiobook.
Actually, Audible kind of recommends it to you, but you go right into like Mistborn and some of the things that they've read and even the connection with Sanderson finishing the series. But yeah, I think he wanted them to come read his books as well too. So that's pretty cool. Okay. Yeah, so I know where I'm going in July. Thank you, by the way, Susan.
That's just down the street. As you live in Dublin.
I used to live in Dublin. That's literally like 40 minutes away from
If you're looking for a great place to go, it's called the Dub Pub. Okay.
It's the Dub Pub. Yeah. If you guys want to meet, we'll do a meet and greet. We'll do a hangout at the Dub Pub if you guys want to.
Wow. Dark days.
Smokes.
Dark days at the Dub Pub.
There were some dark friends there as well.
Right.
And there were barkeeps that were.
We went. Right. It's like I went. You go to the Dub Pub. The next thing you know, you're on a trip with Bale Doman. Right. And where you really are is you've traveled to the Long Island. Okay. The way of the leaf. Yeah. Okay, because it's the way of the tree, the Long Island iced teas.
Oh my gosh, yeah. They I used to have a name back then. My friends would call me Long Island Ez, is right. what they called me.
I was changing it the way of the leaf, right? Because it's trees.
It's trees, right? Yeah, exactly.
But Marriott in Dublin. I mean, that's as Ez is definitely going to that one. That's easy.
Definitely, I'll be there, guys. That's easy. Yeah, that's cool. Actually, I did not realize that was there. So. I'm a Columbus guy, so that's cool. Susan, anybody else give me going to that? David, Susan, Catherine, anybody, MJ, you know, hit us up. Let me know. I'd love to meet up with some people and hang out. It's actually cool. You know, the Jordan Con thing, like I kind of laugh with Matt prior to him. Like, there are just the nerd. Like, Matt and I run multiple fandoms, Star Wars, you know.
Well, here's the thing. This weekend, it would be unfair of us to go to Jordan Con because then we couldn't go to Ice and Fire Con, and they're both going on at the same time.
I know.
How can we pick? That's not fair.
That's not fair, actually.
It's like saying, which child do you love more, you know?
Yeah, it's not fair. It's not right. No, but when they're on separate weekends, you know, we would like to go to more of them. And it's just been a weird kind of coming out of the pandemic year. So I'm actually excited as we got towards, like, if a lot of this stuff was like midsummer and I think late summer, I'd be down. Like, I'm even considering Dragon Con and stuff like that. But I'm like, all right.
I was going to go to that Game of Thrones convention in February and it got canceled. So I was just like, all right, I'm just out on conventions this year.
Right. That's true. That's true. So, but anyways, just wanted to pull up the schedule there real quick for you guys, just so you can kind of see some of the stuff that was going on. And it's just neat. I think also, let me see if I can pull this up. Guest of honor, just so you guys sort of know. Let me switch tabs here. Yeah, is this me?
Sorry about that.
Oh no, you're good. You're good.
No, Susan. She said she'd love to go, man, but her husband's having chemo. Well, hopefully a speedy recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a lot. So let me see here. Oh yeah, here we go. Guest of honor in this. Right, here we go. So we've got like our artist.
This is Jordan Con.
Yeah, this is Jordan Con right now. So they've got just a couple images there. So I think I showed you guys some of the. They've got some author spotlights, right? And they've got some artist spotlights. Whoops. Let's see. We've got this guy there as well. Unfortunately, I don't know. They've got their links here too. We'll put some of their links down in the description. You guys can check out their artwork and some of their other. Just their other works. There's a lot though. So these are the guests of honor, and then you have attending professionals. And I'm just going to click on this, and you'll see there's a ton. You've got featured guests. You've got artists and vendors. So if you guys want to go check this out, you can just click on one, and you can just kind of read a little bit about what they're into. And a lot of these folks are at Jordan Con, which is cool. Really cool. So it's just so fun to go out and meet new people and to see. There are also people who have written their own stuff or graphic novels or whatever, you know, artists. Again, they're there pitching a lot of their stuff. And I think it's fun. Cons are so much fun. So,
I would love to go to one. You know, we were set up to go to a bunch this year, but ended up not doing them. But next year, I'll be going to all the conventions.
Yeah, we're down. Well, yeah, we definitely will be. We're down. And hey, I'll be at one in July, so I feel like that's really good. So I'm just like,
there you go.
I'm more stoked now than I can't. I would have missed that, Susan. I would have missed that had you not have said something. So I appreciate it.
I know.
I knew about Jordan Con in Atlanta. I've got a cousin.
You got to go represent us.
Got to. I will go in there with microphone. By the way, you know something that Matt and I do a lot of, and we enjoy doing this, is like taking the microphones on the spot. Talking, doing it. I love seeing the Dusty Wheel. I like seeing Matt there. I like seeing some of the other podcasts that are covering this. It's fun. You go have a good time, but also throw that mic in front of other people's faces and just, if they're willing and they want to talk and they want to be on the podcast, that's what it's all about. We love reading your guys' thoughts on the show, reading comments on YouTube, doing this. Some of you guys are in here chatting with us right now. We like to just toss your comment up and talk about it on the screen. That's what we do. Always have, always will. And I think it's good for community building and just fun. Good way to meet new friends.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else in the chat here?
Yeah, I'm waiting. We'll kind of see. I bet you. And if you guys hop into any other chats tonight, like the Dusty Wheel or any of those other podcasts go live again, look for us to be in there commenting as well, because I want to hear what they have to say and what went down. Matt, it looks like, I'm not gonna lie to you, it looks like they're all just cracking open some drinks.
It
just partying.
It seems like a big party. The whole thing just feels like, it seems like a big, every time I look and see what's going on there, it just seems like it's some sort of big party.
They should, because the fact that Wheel of Time got a season one, it got approved, it launched, it's like legitimate. It's not some weird, you know, I don't know what that thing with that show that they had, that pilot show, the Wheel of Time thing was crazy there for a while. Yeah, it was awkward, but like it got a respectable show. And it's the most watched show on Amazon.
Yeah. By the way, I've learned a little bit, you know, as I'm always reading about like Hollywood news and insider reports and everything. So like that first show. So apparently sometimes this happens where it's like, why does this ever get made? Well, so sometimes it's like, because contracts are signed, you have to put out a project no matter how bad it is.
Whoa.
And so it's why some things were like, it's like, man, I feel like this would have been better as like a, HBO, like Max series, you know, like a Netflix, a streaming series as opposed to a movie, but then ends up releasing as a movie. It's because contracts were signed. It says this will be a movie. And so it's just like, all right.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's probably what happened. That's probably what happened with that pilot, was somewhere a contract was signed.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that why
the original Fantastic Four movie, not like the, like there's one in the 90s. Go look it up. It's awful. Fox had to put it out because they had the contract that said that they would make one, part of like when they bought the rights to it.
Yeah.
But so go look it up. I mean, it's like bad. Yeah. But it's just because they had to make a movie, so they made it.
You remember there was that announcement about the Wheel of Time movie, like the prequel movie? Is that not because
said anything is said? Probably.
Isn't that a different company or somebody else who had totally the different. Right and was just trying?
I think they had the right to that. Yeah. I think they had the rights to whatever that weird prequel thing was.
So they announced
first
it.
Episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, all right, Frith, hey, before we go here, Susan brought up a good shout out to Matt Atch. He's losing his voice. Looks tired. Looks like a great party over there. Shout out to him. Appreciate Winter all Dragon, the work he's doing over there. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, right here. Yeah. Yep. Winter Dragon was a must do to keep the rights. Yeah, that's how it works. Go look up the original Fantastic Four movie. It's like 1994, I think. It's like bad. Fox didn't even like release it to theaters or anything. They're just like, hey, we made it. We said it. There you go. Have at it.
Wow. That's crazy. I did not realize that.
Yeah. So awesome. All right. Well, we will be back with part two of Lord of Chaos. So keep an eye out for that. As in, I just took a little break.
Yeah.
Needed a month off, man. So anyway, we're back. We're good. We got stuff cranking out. We're getting some Wheel of Time season two news, diving back into the books. Things are the slow burn to season two has begun.
Yes, it has.
All right. This was like the first little, okay, here we go. Season two.
Right.
Getting it going. And I do feel like season two will be bigger and better than season one.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait. I'm excited for all of it. So
awesome. So all right, guys, as always, thank you for watching. Those of you who came in here and jumped onto this impromptu live stream on YouTube, thank you guys for listening. For those of you guys listening on the podcast, stay tuned. We have extra content on Patreon and on Apple Premium, which you can find out. And thank you to anyone who supports us there, as it is an enormous help to As and I to continue to crank out all this content and keep all this stuff going and improving quality and everything as we go. So we appreciate that. And as always, remember that the grave is no bar to our call.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.